Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Against the Night. How's it going, Tara?
Oh, it's going.
How's your night going?
Oh, I'm here. I'm alive.
We made pizza.
We made pizza. Homemade pizza.
It was really good. Like, Tara taught me how to make pizza from scratch. It was really cool.
Ayo.
You want me to just, you know, crush your, you know.
Happiness?
Happiness, your
yeah,
mood.
Go ahead. Have a day off tomorrow. I can recoup.
Okay. All right. Are we just going to jump right into it?
I'm going to jump right into it.
All right. So, tis Kelsey.
Tis I.
I'm going to be telling the story today. Don't laugh at me. So, today's story is called The Tube Sock Murders. Why are you looking at me like that? If you tell me that you know this, I'm leaving.
Does he only leave their tube socks on?
No.
Oh, okay. There is one that I remember where he only left... She was called Orange Socks, and he only left orange socks on her, and that's how they... She was like a Jane Doe.
Oh,
and
no.
And I was like, please don't tell me it's that one, because that one's very disturbing.
No.
I'd rather not relive that.
This one might be a tad disturbing,
okay.
We have a lot of victims in this story.
Oh, dear. Like, what are we talking about? Are you talking, like, double digits?
No.
Okay. I was gonna say, geez.
Close-ish. Not really.
Eight?
No. Possibly six.
Oh.
4 to 6.
Okay. Like business days? Are we shipping something?
No. Okay, sorry. Let's reel this back because it's about to get set.
Right. Okay.
All right. In the afternoon of December 12th, 1985, a 2-year-old was found wandering around by herself in a...
Aww.
In a Washington State Kmart.
My goodness.
I know. She was confused and alone, and employees tried to locate her parents, but they were unsuccessful, and they eventually notified police because...
The 2-year-old.
There's a 2-year-old. By itself. In their store.
Oh my goodness.
Authorities took the girl to a local hospital and had her checked out. She had a few scratches. And they also tried to locate her parents. When they couldn't, they listed the young girl as missing and broadcasted her photo on Washington TV. During this time, while they were trying to find her parents, they also put her into foster care. Because what else are they going to do with her? They don't have anywhere to send her, so they put her in foster care. So when this was broadcasted...
Were they even able to figure out her name? Like, was she old enough to be like, I'm Mary Jane?
Not until she was recognized.
Oh. So, oh, poor baby. What do they even call her?
I don't know. When she was shown on TV, this is when the young girl was recognized as 2-year-old Crystal Robertson by her grandmother. Her grandma was watching TV and was like, that's my granddaughter.
Oh my god.
So she...
Oh my god. That's horrible.
That's terrifying. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine being that grandmother?
That's what I'm saying. That's terrifying.
Oh my god. Like, her heart probably fell through her feet.
Exactly. You're just sitting there, like, watching the evening news, and there's your grandchild, and you're like, oh my god.
And they're like, they're probably calling her some weird name, like the Isle of Kmart she was found in.
It's so sad, too, because also, if it's like, if this is her granddaughter, where is the granddaughter's parents? Yeah. That's automatic.
Where's her daughter or her son?
Exactly. So when they found, or when she recognized her, the grandmother immediately went to go get guardianship of her.
Give
obviously.
Me back my grandchild.
Exactly. When they asked Crystal where her parents were, like when the grandma asked the little girl, she said, mommy's in the trees.
What?
How terrifying.
Oh my god.
I know, I'm like, oh, okay.
That's something that would keep you up at night.
Exactly. That's, like, the shortest horror story you've ever heard.
You know, like, those four-word, like horror stories? That's, like, real life.
Yeah.
Four-word horror story.
Exactly. Okay. So, let's back to December 12th, when she was found. Earlier in the day, her parents had decided to go on a trip to Nisqually. I think that's how you say that. Nisqually River. Her parents are Mike Reimer and Diana Robertson. They wanted to take their daughter to find a Christmas tree. And Mike had also had set up some animal traps that he wanted to check on. Because this was, you know, December 12th. They wanted to find a Christmas tree for their little girl.
I'm so confused.
Why are you confused?
How did she end up at a Kmart? Yep. That's nowhere near Christmas trees.
Yep. Yep. So, after all this had happened, on February 18th, 1986, 3 months later, a driver noticed an abandoned truck that matched the description of Mike and Diana's when they called, or when they went to go look inside the...
Okay, 3 months after she was discovered in the Kmart?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Because it was December, it's not February.
Okay, I didn't know if you meant that she was discovered 3 months later, and this was at that time, or... No. Okay. No. Okay, okay.
They looked inside of the cab of the truck, and it was covered in blood.
Oh, boy.
So they called the police. The police showed up, and they looked inside of this truck. Not only was it covered in blood, but it also had Diana's body inside of it. Her cause of death was 17 stab wounds and a tube sock tied around her neck. It was also a manila envelope with the words, "I love you, Diana," written in Mike's handwriting.
What?
Mike was nowhere to be seen. Now, we're gonna take a jump here.
Okay.
Because there are three different cases that are connected to the tube sock murders. So we're gonna go a few months prior to Mike and Diana. In August of 1985.
Diana's still alive. The baby's not at a Kmart.
Yep.
Okay.
This is August. Stephen Harkings. I almost said Hawkins.
Yeah, I was going to say that's hard.
Stephen Hawkins. Stephen Harkings and Ruth Cooper went on a weekend camping trip to Tule Lake in Washington State. This weekend didn't turn out as planned when the body of Stephen was found by hikers.
Yikes.
He was still in his sleeping bag and was fatally shot.
Jeez, like in the head?
I would imagine. They said fatally shot. I don't know.
I mean, that could be in the heart.
But... yeah. A little distance away was also the body of their pet dog.
Why the dog? Why are you gonna take the animals? God.
But also, if you think about it, the dog probably would have run away and then starved to death.
Someone would have probably found the dog if it was a camping site. But then at the same time, it's like, the dog probably didn't take kindly to, like, you know, you just shot my owner. Thanks. You know, I'm probably gonna bite you.
I might bite you. I might be very afraid of you.
I don't know.
At that point, Ruth's body was nowhere to be found. Until 2 months later, in October, her purse and her skeletal remains were found. She was away from where Stephen was. She was also found with a tube sock wrapped around her neck, which would indicate that she had been strangled. But when they later did more tests, they found out that she was killed due to a gunshot to the abdomen.
Oh, what a horrible way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think going, just in general.
I mean, it's gotta suck. But, like, I mean, just getting shot in the head, you wouldn't know what happened.
That's a good point. If you got shot in the abdomen, you probably would bleed
out.
You would have
bled out, and you would have felt it, and it would have just sucked. All around would have been a bad experience.
Now, this is usually the point where I would go into some theories, but there's another case that is a lot of times connected to the other two. I don't personally feel like it connects to the other two, because somebody was convicted in this other case. But every single time I looked it up, all three of them were connected.
Okay. Before you begin on the third case.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me why they connected these two cases.
Because they're both...
in the same area?
Same area, and both of the women had tube socks wrapped around their neck.
So she did have a tube sock wrapped around her neck, too.
Yes.
Even though she was shot in the abdomen.
Yeah, so they originally thought that she had been strangulated, but then when they...
because of the tube sock.
Yes.
Oh, that's weird.
It is very weird. Alright.
Okay.
So, this is where things get a little complicated, because like I said, there's a third case that's a lot of times associated with the other two. Like I said, I don't feel like this one goes with it, but...
does it have the tube sock?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
This was in March of 1985. So this is before the other two.
I hope the other ones were 1987, you said?
No. All of them are in 1985.
All of them are in 1985. Okay.
The first case I started with was in December, and I worked backwards.
Okay.
Because...
this is all the same year.
Yeah. They're, like, within, like 3 and 4 months of each other.
That's a little scary.
So we have March, August, December.
Okay.
Yeah. it's pretty intense. The one that's connected that I don't feel that's always connected, but I don't feel like it's connected, is the murders of Edward Smith and Kimberly Levine. On March 9th, 1985, they had gone on a little getaway trip for the weekend, as it wasn't too long after they had just gotten engaged. They left on a Saturday, you know, obviously just planning to be away for the weekend. And by that Monday, their jobs hadn't heard from them. So they tried to call them, couldn't get in touch with them. So they just reported them missing, which I think is awesome. But their jobs were like, this is weird. They always show up. I'm going to report them missing instead of, like, waiting.
Yeah.
After that, Edward's body was found near, I'm going to attempt to say this, don't make fun of me, Wanapum, that's how I'm going to say it, dam. His body was found in a gravel pit that was near the dam. He had no identification on his body. He was bound and had his throat split.
Jeez.
Split? Slit. Slit, probably.
I mean, either one.
Split feels wrong.
Point made.
At this time, Kimberly wasn't found with him. 2 weeks later, their car was found 10 miles from where Edward's body was. There was one fingerprint that was found on the car that didn't belong to the couple. This fingerprint belonged to Billy Ray Billard Jr. He was a truck driver. He had also been convicted of kidnapping, torturing, and raping two women in Wyoming.
Oh, good. So he's got a good track record.
Yeah. All right. He's a winner.
He's a real successful guy.
He was eventually convicted of Edward and Kimberly's murder. Her body was eventually found. Body was found away from Edward's body. I tried to find information on, like, the exact, like, specifics of her body. Like, why they were connecting it to the tube sock murders. I'm not sure.
I guess maybe the commonalities I picked up besides the tube socks. Because I guess if we don't know with the third case, we don't know that the tube sock was a commonality between all three. We know it was between the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last two, I guess. But also, if he was convicted, well, I suppose it takes a while for a trial to kick in. So he could have committed these murders that same year.
But there was no evidence in the other cases that he was connected to them.
Maybe he was more careful. The only commonalities I'm picking up besides the tube sock, because we have to rule that out just for the fact that we don't know if it was in the first one, is they were all couples.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all found separately.
Yeah, we'll get into that when I get into some theories.
Series? Okay.
So, I personally don't really think that Billy Ray Billard Jr., first of all.
Does it have an I before the A-R-D?
Yes.
Billiard,
I know. But it just... Billy Billiard.
Well, if he killed someone, I don't care if he...
He's a junior, though. So there's a first one. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Billy Billiard Sr. William Billiard.
William. Maybe he was William. But like I said, I personally don't think that he was responsible for the murders that happened. Like, I think he was responsible for Kimberly and Edward, so that was the one that happened in March. But the ones that happened in August and December, I don't really feel like he was connected to those two. Even though he had a bad track record, it's just, I feel like that's a little bit, it's less plausible to me, anyways. Because he eventually pled guilty to their murders. So if you're already, like, claiming the other two...
You might as well just say, oh yeah, by the way.
By the way.
There's eight more, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. The only thing that connects, that they keep trying to connect these two, is because the proximity. And, like you said, the other elements that we'll get into in a second. So, ready for some theories from me?
I'm ready.
So, in the case of Mike and Diana had the little girl. The theory is that Mike murdered Diana. This is supported because Mike had a history of domestic violence. He had been previously arrested for abuse against Diana, and she testified for it and everything. He was considered the prime suspect in the murder of Diana for decades, until March of 2011. Guess what happened in March of 2011?
Did they find him?
Yeah.
30 years later?
Yep.
Oh my god.
A mile from where Diana's body was found was the skull of Mike. Now, if we want to believe that Mike killed Diana, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things to try and figure out what happened. Because,
a lot of reconciliation, like, that you have to do there.
Like, how did the little girl end up at Kmart? That's his daughter.
That's weird.
It is very weird. It's possible that this was a murder-suicide, but why would he have dropped off the daughter at the Kmart?
And then come back.
And then come back.
To the same spot. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. This means he would have either had to drop off the toddler before the murder of Diana, or murder Diana, take the daughter to Kmart, and then come back and kill himself.
No.
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 Yes. That's... I think that that's kind of strange also. Because the Kmart was 30 minutes from where the bodies were found.
So, riddle me this. Did they... I know it was 30 years later. Almost 30. It was like 26 or something. Could they see what happened to him?
I saw only on one source that it was possibly a gunshot wound to the head, but one of the other guys was also shot. But if it was a murder-suicide...
But it also really depends on where you shot it, where he was shot in the head, you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Because if, like, you know, he shot, like, in his temple, if he shot under his chin...
Mm-hmm. If he was shot in the back of the head.
If he shot in the back of the head, it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was just a skull that they found. Like a partial skull.
But of course, you are in the woods. You know, maybe smaller bones, animals, things like that.
And it had been like 30 years.
Yeah.
The Kmart was 30 minutes from where the bodies were found. So why, if he had done this, why would he take the time to kill Diana, take the child to Kmart, and then go back to the same area to kill himself?
Mm-mm. No way.
Mm-mm. Along with that, it was described that the cab of the truck was covered in blood.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
So if this was the case, how did Crystal, the little girl, how did she not have blood on her?
I have a theory.
Okay.
This is kind of convoluted, but I don't believe that. At first, I was like, oh, Mike killed her.
Yeah.
His name is Mike, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh, Mike killed her. But, like, after you told me the other two cases and the men were separated from the women and the men died in different ways than the women each time, it almost seemed like the women were the object of what they were going after, and the men were just executed.
Yeah.
They were something to get out of the way. They were probably taken away from the area and shot or gotten rid of, and then they were going after the women. For whatever reason, I feel like, I don't think it was Mike. I think he was killed probably before what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was being led away from her. And either maybe he was like, do you want to say something to her? So maybe that's when that note was written. Why was it in a manila folder? I don't know.
It was on a manila folder. It wasn't like in a manila folder. Yeah. There was also blood on the folder. But if there was blood all over the cab, there's
blood
probably
on the folder.
Some places said that it could have been written beforehand.
Beforehand?
It wasn't placed in a way that, like, made it evident. Yeah. It was just, like, in the truck.
Maybe it was something that meant something to her. Maybe it was something he wrote at work or something. So that may not be relevant.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think he was either led away before or after. I think it was before. And that way he couldn't interfere with what was going on. Yeah. And whoever this was killed him and then had a car and probably put the toddler in the car and did whatever he did to the mother and then took the baby to, and probably all she saw from the car window were the trees.
Yep. We're going to get into that in a second. Let's finish with the theories that are connected to Mike, and then we'll get into what you just talked about.
Okay.
So, if we continue down the line of Mike killing Diana, the first thing that we talked about was that he killed Diana, took Crystal to Kmart, came back and killed himself. Obviously, not super plausible.
No.
Second idea is that he dropped Diana, or not Diana.
Crystal.
He dropped Crystal off before the murder-suicide. But if this was the case, Diana was obviously the mother of the child.
Why you dropped my 2-year-old off at
Kmart
unattended?
Yeah, she would have caused a scene.
Yeah.
She was 2. The little girl was 2. Clearly, yeah. She wouldn't be okay with just being like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
Toy section's that way.
Yeah.
Now, to go to what you're talking about, the final theory that I have is that this was the work of a serial killer. So, the serial killer. A few things that support the theory is that the amount of murders in such a close proximity. They were all committed in the span of a few months to a year. And on top of that, the first two cases, the female was found away from their counterparts. Mm-hmm. The female victim was also the one that had a tube sock wrapped around their necks. This could indicate mommy issues. So, which means, if you don't know what I'm talking about, is that there was some sort of bad relationship with the mother of the killer. Along with mommy issues is a lot of the men grow up to act out against women because they see them as, like, they have anger. They a lot of times end up hating women.
Women, yeah.
This could also show why this person didn't kill the little girl, because if he grew up with a bad childhood, it's almost like he's seeing themselves or himself. I say him because I just expected to be a man, but we have no evidence to support that.
I just feel like if all the men were killed, it had to be a man that was overpowering them. You know, I mean, I suppose anyone can hold anyone at gunpoint, but
exactly. That's the thing about it, is that it was the males were all shot, where the women were. One case, the woman was shot and strangulated. So it's kind of weird because it's like, even if that doesn't necessarily indicate a man or a woman. You know what I mean?
Diane was stabbed, you said, 17 times?
Yes.
And that, to me, that is rage.
Yeah.
Rage, you know? And there was no knife. Nothing discovered. Mm-mm. See, if it was a murder-suicide, there would be a knife.
Yeah.
Exactly. There'd also be a gun.
But it did take them 30 years to find Mike, who wasn't actually that far away.
No. That makes me question that makes me
question.
Because, like, if he was only, like, what you said, like, 100 yards away or something?
I don't think it was 100 yards. I think it was a mile. Yeah, he was a mile from where Diana was found.
A mile? Okay. Well, a mile's a little far.
Yeah. But it also had been 30 years.
Yeah.
So, possibly this... The remains were moved from the weather, animals. So with the serial killer, he didn't kill Crystal, but he could be seeing it as that he's freeing her from the burden of, like, a traumatic childhood, because if he had issues with his mother, so he took out the mother in her scenario, so now that little girl has nothing.
A mother was only a source of trauma to him, so he's freed her of that potential burden. Of what was a burden to him. Yes.
Exactly.
It's almost like a weird mercy killing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost like he has some sort of, like, oh, I did you a favor. Or it could mean that he wanted... I keep saying he. I know I probably shouldn't say he, but it could mean that this person wanted the child to grow up broken like them and continue the cycle.
Well, that's a real twisted way to look at it.
Yeah, that's some, like...
That's some Lifetime movie creepiness got going on there. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a lot of people out there that are that twisted, but I was gonna say, I don't know if I like to think about people being that twisted, but yeah, I guess there are people out there that twisted. That's what this whole thing's about, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, last episode when we recorded, we talked about Ted Bundy. Dahmer literally ate people, so I would imagine people are that twisted.
Yeah.
But if this was a serial killer, and he killed either 4 or 6 people, depending on who you believe is connected to this theory, and a dog, I feel like a child wouldn't necessarily be
a,
like,
huge step.
Yeah, that wouldn't be, like, crossing the line.
Just kill her parents and the family dog and spare the kid.
It wasn't their dog, it was the other couple's dog.
It was the other couple's dog? Okay.
But it's also an innocent...
living thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not that the other people were innocent, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, a dog's not as cognizant as a human being. It's innocent. It's not doing things with malicious intent.
Neither is a child.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, you know, if it was a serial killer, or somebody who murdered people in general, the aspect of the little girl kind of throws things.
It does. Very much.
It puts an element in there that's kind of off-putting and confusing.
Yeah.
And if it was a serial killer, why did these murders stop in 1985, 1986-ish?
Now, I know she was so young at the time, but, like, Have this is a very interesting question, and don't judge me for it, but like, have the police like tried to like? She's older now, obviously. Have they tried to like? I'm not sure the legitimacy of this science, but like hypnosis.
I did not see anything about that.
They should.
That could be an interesting place.
Yeah.
To start. But it's also, like, she was two.
She was two, yeah.
I can understand if maybe she was, like, three or four. Because that's when you kind of have a better understanding of the world around you.
Yeah.
But two is,
you're
like,
still, I would say you're a baby still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I guess I understand that. I imagine they probably questioned her to the best of their ability. But if she's just so small.
It's a two-year-old.
It's a two-year-old. What can she tell you?
Exactly.
You know? But now that she can communicate, I just wonder if there's something, because something so traumatic, even when you're that little, you can remember flashbulb moments.
Exactly.
So I just wonder if, like, they take her back there and maybe show her photos of her mom's face and maybe just put her in a quiet room for a while. I wonder if what, like...
I almost wonder if she doesn't want to do that.
I would imagine that would probably be a very traumatic thing to have to do.
Yeah.
And, like, when I say hypnosis, I don't mean, like... Hypnosis, like, follow the watch. Like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just literally meditatively, like, look at this photo of your mom, think about this. And, but there is also a lot of trauma that goes along with that kind of thing.
And, exactly.
You know, she's a grown adult now. She may not want to revisit that.
Exactly.
She's probably heard enough about it.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all I've got to share with you.
So the other two cases, so there was the... Junior, who was prosecuted in that one case. The other two cases are unsolved to this day?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I can see why they try to connect the three cases, because they were in such close proximity and there's similarities between the cases. I personally don't think that they're connected.
Okay. Even the two tube socks?
I think those two are.
Okay. You don't mean all three,
though. I just don't think all three. I don't think that, Edward and Kimberly, those are the two that were that had somebody convicted, so Billard Jr. I think that was a case on its own. I think that's a separate situation. I almost didn't even include it, but just because I felt like it was such, like, a almost like a red herring, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just felt like it didn't really fit, but in every single time I would look up this,
it would be mentioned.
Every single article.
It almost felt irresponsible to leave it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if that many people thought that they were connected, I felt like it would be important to include it, even if I didn't necessarily...
Personally agree.
...believe it. Other people might find that they do believe it, and if they did, you know, more research, I totally understand.
The tube sock is just weird to me.
But it was the 80s.
Everyone can wear tube socks.
But
still, strangling someone with a tube sock is just weird. Yeah. But also, the MO is just a little different, because didn't he shoot her in the abdomen? He shot her in the abdomen, and he stabbed Diana 17 times.
Diana was stabbed 17 times, and the tube sock.
Yeah.
The other case, which was Stephen and Ruth was shot.
Yeah, shot.
In the abdomen. Yeah.
Yeah, so they have different MOs, except for the tube sock.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is very weird. Or, none of them are connected, and the only thing that connects them is the tube socks, which is something that a lot of people wore.
And the location.
But when you actually start doing a lot of research into unsolved cases, a lot of that area, like Washington, Oregon, like forestry areas, like campsites, there's a lot of like unsolved murders that are there, which is very disturbing.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. It makes me kind of wary about camping.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a fan of camping just because I'm hella paranoid and I'm not trying to get murdered.
Yeah, a little bit for me too.
Yeah. And also, I don't like bugs.
Yeah.
This one was really interesting to, like, research, just because it could be a lot of people just, like,
speculating
that they connect. And I agree that there are a lot of similarities, but it's like, we don't have enough information
to say that they are.
Yeah. I think there's also, like, elements of, like, Diana and Mike that kind of also throws it a little bit, because Mike was known to being, abusive towards her.
Yeah.
So that also gives you some sort of indication that maybe there was something that was going on in their relationship.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think the two tube socks are related just for the fact that there's three commonalities. There were four, actually, which is just too many for me to ignore. They were a couple, one.
Uh-huh.
They were found separately, killed separately, two.
Mm-hmm.
Both women had a tube sock tied around their neck. Not on their body, not found near their body, around their neck. But that's not what killed them.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a fifth commonality. It's not what killed them.
I have a sixth.
And they were both killed in a way that was not how the male counterpart was killed. They're killed in a way that shows some intent, some rage to me. Made the gunshot to the abdomen less so. Mm-hmm. But it also, to me, if you shoot someone in the stomach and then choke them with a tube sock, that shows that you probably want them to suffer.
Yeah.
Even if, I feel like Diana's murder was more rage filled.
But if you think about it in the timeline, it could show that if it was a serial killer, that means that they were escalating.
Yeah.
So you start with a gun, and then you move to stabbing. That could, like a lot of serial killers do, escalate in their means of...
Because suddenly a gun isn't as personal as taking a knife stabbing. And actually stabbing someone. Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe that person shot them and didn't do it for them, so then they were like, oh, let me try a knife this time.
Yeah.
Now, you said that there was five commonalities. I have another aspect of the story that I didn't include because I didn't feel like it connected. I felt like this was a part of people, you know, tinfoil hatting on the internet. In Diana and Mike's case, as well as Stephen and Ruth, there was an age gap between the partners. So, in Diana and Mike, Diana was like 21, I believe, and Mike was in his late 30s. Stephen and Ruth. Stephen was in his 20s and Ruth was in her 40s.
Oh.
So in both cases, the relationships had significant age gaps. I don't know that that's connected. I feel like that was...
interesting. An interesting discrepancy. And interesting that it flips between the sexes.
Exactly. That's why I felt like it wasn't necessarily totally important, considering it flips... like you said, between the sexes, because if it was a mommy issue thing, you would think it would be both situations where the women were older.
It almost makes me wonder if the person who did this had children, just because maybe he saw his children in the kid in Crystal, and that's why he didn't kill her. But at the same time, maybe I'm putting too much empathy forth on someone who can perpetrate something like this.
What if the reason why that was the last murder is because there was a child. And that gave them some sort of, like, not wake-up call. So, you know, Mike and Diana were the last. They had a child there.
Yeah.
Maybe they had planned to do the same thing that they had done before, but once they got there was a kid there, and they realized this is, you know, too much.
Yeah, now I'm ruining other kids' lives. Like, my life was ruined or something or another, you know? Something like that. I don't know, because the thing is what I was talking about, like last episode, the episode before last, I was just being, sometimes I can be naive, and sometimes I think other people have as much empathy as I have, even people who do horrible, heinous things, and you gotta think, there are some people who do not think about other people like people, they think about them like objects.
Yeah.
And to do what this person did to these people, suggesting that it's the same person. Assuming.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't think about them like people. And if you did, you'd have to be some another level type of evil. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's your bummer for the night.
Oh, that one was a little bit of a bummer.
Sorry.
It's part of the business.
I feel like we say this every time.
Like, once every other time.
It's like, oh, this was sad. Why do we do this? I don't know.
I don't know. Awareness?
Awareness. Morbid curiosity.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to segue into, if you'd like to talk to us about this case, we have social media. Feel free to send us a message on Instagram, which is at ATN Podcast, or Twitter, which is at ATN Pod. So that's ATN POD. We would love to hear from you guys.
Send us all your theories and all your comments and concerns.
Thoughts? Suggestions?
I love some suggestions. You got some theories and some, or a case that's really been bothering you, we will cover it if it is interesting. Which I assume if it's got you up at night, it's probably pretty interesting.
True. All right, Tara. You know your job here.
Cue theme song.